Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Don't Go In There podcast. I'm Bill Reed, and as always, we are joined by your hostess with the mostest, Ashley Ernie. And this week, we are covering the Christy Merrick case. I don't know where that came from. I just felt like
so much energy. I loved it. Guys, check out our social media, Instagram, don't_go_in_there. Twitter, don't go in there 3. Facebook, we have a page and group, Don't Go In There. And then email us your true crime stories, your paranormal stories, your hometown stories, anything you want to email us, really, we'll take it at don'tgointhere19@gmail.com.
Yep, and don't forget to check us out on our new network on anchor.fm. Also, check out, you know, the other podcasts that are on there as well. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever else you listen to us, like Spotify. That way you'll always be updated on the new episodes from your favorite podcast. That would be us.
Yes. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review or a little comment. We always love to see those. And then check us out on the Patreon. So we have a Patreon. We have 3 different levels that you can support us if you financially want to. Each level gets you something a little bit different. So go over there and check that out.
I agree. We'll just put it that way. So that's the business side of things, Ash. What do you say? Let's go in there.
Let's go. So I do want to just shout out to a couple places I got my information from. So some credit. So LancasterOnline.com, WNEP.com, ABCNews.go.com, and Heavy.com/news. So these are basically all different news sites that I grabbed from. So let's get into this.
Okay.
So Christy was born and raised in Shamokin area, and was a 1985 graduate of Our Lady of Lourdes Regional High School. Christy was a very nice, polite, refined young lady and came from a great family. She was involved in like every school activity possible. And Christy grew up, she became an elementary school teacher in Lancaster, and she taught the 6th grade. At the time that Christy was murdered, she was living with a roommate. So on December 21st, 1992, her roommate left early for work while Christy was still getting ready. Christy was gathering all kind of Christmas presents she had in her arm for her students, and she was putting on her hats and gloves, and she was just about ready to head out the door. However, she never made it outside. Her killer attacked her when she opened the door and began to strangle her. So he basically like pushed his way in. Brutally beat her and sexually assaulted her.
Oh.
You okay? What'd you do?
Yeah, no, I was just saying, oh wow. Like, I wasn't expecting that.
I thought you dropped something because it sounded like no. And I was like, okay.
Nope, just a little shocked. I wasn't expecting that so soon. Maybe that's what I get for not reading these, but I don't like reading this. Like our little script before, because I like having like I'm sure you do, like a genuine reaction and not feel like it's
forced. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're diving.
But apparently it just sounds like I'm dropping things over here. So maybe I should.
No,
read
it. I like the genuine reaction. Yeah. So that was all according to the police. So at this time, Christy was only 25 years old, which is like super sad.
Yeah, that's young. You're still. I mean, we're only like 5 years older, but still, just think about how long ago that feels to be 25. Yeah. And she like has it pretty put together. She has a job. How old was I? I think I was 26 when I got my first full-time like career job. So like she's doing pretty good for herself.
Teaching, which is what she loves to do. She's a classroom of kids that love her. She, you know, has her own place with a roommate. Like, she definitely has it way more together than I ever did when I was 25.
She sounds like she has it more put together than I do now.
When Christy didn't report to school, her co-workers and principals became very concerned and knew something was wrong. So she was like, you know, she had the habit. She was there on time every day. She never called off. If she did, she did call in. So this was very out of character for Christy. So the principal of the school left work just to stop by Christy's house and see if she was all right. And at 9:15 a.m., the principal arrived at Christy's house and found her front door to be ajar. When he opened the door, he found an even more shocking scene. He found Christy's lifeless body laying in the doorway of her house. So I,
Jesus
like,
Christ.
what a thing to
Wow.
walk in. Like, what do you do? Like, that's insane. And I know a lot of people think it's
Well, you
weird
just
for like a manager or your boss to come check on you, but this is 1992. Like, cell phones were just coming in on the scene. Like, it was normal for this kind of like someone to come and check on you.
Well, I don't even say it. Like, yeah, if you don't show up to your part-time gig at Walmart or like Walgreens, probably a manager's not going to come check on you. But this is like a high school where you don't have a history of not showing up. You're young. She probably has only been teaching for what, maybe a year or two. So they probably found it strange. And like you said, is she teaching at the same high school she went to, or just in the same area?
In the same area.
I don't know if you know that or not.
Well, no,
Okay,
because she
well,
went to like Our Lady of
then she's a
Lourdes.
local. Okay, so she's a local kid. Probably has ties to the community. I mean, it might not be the same community, but it's definitely close. So, I mean, why not go check? I mean, it's strange. Usually, they now a lot of people do call us to go check on this type of stuff. Like I've had a lot of, check on the welfare of an employee. Sometimes they're just, playing hooky and somebody didn't get the message that they called off. That's usually what happens, but there's been times where, you don't make contact with anybody.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's like I would rather someone call, do a welfare check, and it be okay than not call and like want to call but not call, regret it, and something not be okay. I think it's always better to err on
Yeah,
the side of
exactly.
caution.
I mean, I kudos to the principal for taking it on himself and instead of just calling 911, but man, could you imagine? I haven't walked in on a scene like this, but I feel like I'm a little bit more prepared than a high school principal because I kind of get in the mindset that this is something I could walk into. In a million years, he would never thought this is it. You know what I
No,
mean?
how he didn't just pass out like on the floor, I have no idea, because that's like would be my first reaction.
Yeah.
So what he did see was a clear sign of a struggle. There were scuff marks on the floor, and the Christmas presents that Christy had, all packed up for her class, were strewed about. It's believed that the killer sexually assaulted Christy because her underwear and pants and a shoe were removed, and then the clothing that was on her torso was pushed up. There was a cutting board that was found near her head that was all bloody, and her face was so distorted because she suffered such a brutal beating.
A cutting board? Like, that's so
From the kitchen.
strange.
I don't, and that's the weird thing too, is like, I don't know where this cutting board was, and I don't know where the kitchen was, but this all happened in like the doorway. So I don't know how or why the cutting board got involved.
The only thing I can think of is maybe she had the cutting board for like taking to work to maybe cut some treats up or something for the kids. Like, why else? First of all, if he de man, I don't know. It's so weird. Like, that's not something I would grab from the kitchen to beat somebody with, first of all.
And maybe that's it. Maybe it was
Second
something
of
she
all,
was like taking so she could hold all the Christmas presents. And maybe it's not a cutting board like we're used to, like a kitchen cutting board. I don't know. Maybe it's something else
but
more
yeah, but
school.
it could still be like a big, yeah, maybe it's a big, just a, it could be a cutting board that she just found it easier to put the presents on to carry it. Maybe it had a handle or something. I don't know, but that's very strange.
Yeah, but it was used to basically beat her to the point where it distorted her face.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
unreal.
So, but however, Chrissy did fight back and she fought for her life. She suffered blunt trauma to her neck and upper chest regions, and her jaw was fractured. Ultimately, the cause of death was strangulation. So she did put up a fight.
And that takes some strength because it's said that it takes a lot of strength just to strangle somebody when they're not fighting back. She's fighting back and she's I don't know. I don't know what her background is or anything like that, but 25 years old, she's not old by any stretch, and she's probably in decent shape.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And then you add in the adrenaline, like that takes a strong person.
Yeah, and I mean this was first thing in the morning, so it's like catching her off guard. So, I mean that's even more kind of impressive that she's able to fight back, 'cause even to just be aware of what's going on, 'cause everything's happening so quickly.
Yeah, it's not like this is the back alley and it's dark with, one street light on. This is your front porch/front door, like you're not thinking about getting attacked there, leaving for your teaching job at, 7 o'clock in the
Yeah.
morning.
So the coroner was able to find DNA from sperm on multiple areas of her body and in a section of the carpet under where her body was found. Authorities developed a DNA profile of the suspect and they put it into the database for offenders, but at the time there was no match. So good for them for one collecting this DNA, but also preserving it just to have the, because the DNA technology back then was not what it is today. And I mean, it's
Yeah.
still developing a ton today.
No, and not even that. It was pretty well developed, but the courts were still kind of iffy on it, and that's why like the OJ trial, a lot of the DNA wasn't used because it was still just like a new, lack of a better term, technology, not technology, but a way of,
It's like a new science.
yeah, it's a new science. So they were pretty good at it, but still the courts were kind of, iffy on it with OJ, and then well, here it even says it, and it's true today. If you, it's great that you can put DNA into the system for a match, but if there's no DNA to match it to, it does you no good until that DNA is put into the system to match it. And then you got to hope that the DNA that puts in there to match is known and not still an unknown person.
And I don't know when this happened, but I know like now, like if you go to jail, you have to submit your DNA. But back, years ago, that wasn't the case. When you got put in jail, you were just put in jail. They didn't have like a big record like they do now to like compare it to.
Yeah, and now they have all those genealogy sites. I mean, I know like Ancestry.com and like 23andMe, they do not let police officers, law enforcement agencies into their databases without court orders.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're doing it, you're fine. You're not, they just don't get into them willy-nilly. But there is some places that, we can get to your family tree. And actually, that's, I think, that's how the Golden State Killer was found, actually.
So much for not reading ahead. This is basically like
No.
what we're jumping into. But yeah, that's exactly how he was
I'm not reading ahead. I'm
okay.
just knowledgeable and full of fun
You're
facts.
so smart. But yeah, that's exactly how he was found. And
Oh, geez. Well, then I'll shut up and let you talk.
and this is just a side note, but I don't know if you or if anyone watch the DNA of Murder with Paul Holes on Oxygen. If you have not,
No,
it's so
I
funny.
heard it's really good, but I just don't have cables.
Yeah. Well, I don't either, but I use my mom's logins, don't tell her, and I download the Oxygen app because we got our cable too. But it works out because she steals my Netflix, so it's fine.
Oh, then that's perfectly fine. Yeah.
But he goes over all these cold cases and everything that when he has a DNA and there's no hit, he goes back and does like a genealogy to try to see if he can get something from there. And he's been very successful. And it's really, really
Yeah.
interesting to like.
It's very interesting, and it's going to be very interesting in the next couple of years to see if we're still allowed to do this because there's a lot of people fighting that they don't want us using it, that it's fringing on people's privacy. And it's
Yes,
like, well, you
but
know what?
your cousin
We're
should
not.
commit a murderer.
Well, the thing is, it's not like they're going into your personal DNA. They're just going into family trees and seeing that you share some kind of DNA with this hit, this sample of DNA.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to think that like people are like, whoa, what are you going to do with my DNA? Literally look at your family tree is all I'm doing.
Yeah,
Is
we
seeing
don't.
how much DNA I'm not, I can't do anything with it. It's a computer system. I actually don't have your DNA in front of me. It's, I don't know.
Maybe that's why it's so weird. They're like, oh my God, they're going to take my DNA and plant something on me or whatever.
Yeah, it may be. And that's probably it because a lot of, it's just like with anything else, a lot of these congressmen and women are ill-informed on things and they say something and, people don't know any better, so they hear this going on, and that's what they actually think what's goes on. So they don't want to see it. But I digress.
Diving more into this, in 2016, while at a seminar, the authorities became aware of a company called Parabon Nova's Lab, which I'm probably saying that wrong. They submitted the DNA profile from the carpet from the scene to Parabon, and this was like their last shot. And they were hoping, it was going to turn out something. The DA pointed out that although the process has been used in other cases throughout the country, there has not been one solved. There has not been a homicide solved in Pennsylvania yet using this technology.
And this was still in the 90s?
This was in 2016.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You did say that. It went over my head.
What we were talking about is critics have raised concerns about the process, especially since the higher profile Golden State Killer arrest. But the authorities believe that those concerns are based on misconceptions, what we just all talked about. He said that Parabon uses a database called GED Match that is a public available site. So people proactively update their DNA to these files. People use this to research their own ancestry and find relatives. So this site is specifically designed to find genetic relatives. So it is like the 23andMe, the Ancestry.com, yeah, it's, all those.
And this is coming back to me. If you guys listen to Small Town Dicks, I believe they had like a follow-up with the guy who did some of these genetic matches. And he kind of goes through it. And he explains, like, 23andMe and an Ancestry don't allow us to use it, but there is that, I think it's the GED match, where you go in and you can state that you don't want your DNA to be publicly seen. Well, not your DNA, but, you know, the things that you find.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you can also, I guess, opt in helping. So I would listen to that episode. I think it's this newest season that they have. I don't know if you listen, Ash, to Small Town Dicks, but no. I enjoy it. Yeah, it's good. It's and then this, I want to say it's from this season. And it's like a follow-up on it. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good episode.
That would be something super interesting to listen to, being that I didn't realize like a 23 and Ancestry, they don't allow it. I mean, you said it, they do if you have a court order, but this one, it seems like it's voluntary. Like I can upload it, and if my brother decides to go out and kill somebody and they got his DNA, they can find them through me, basically.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So, however, since the use of the genetic genealogy testing from the arrest of the Golden State Killer, this method has been helpful in leads in over 20 other suspected identities in other cases. So it's helping solve cases, over 20 of them so far. Since the time I wrote this, it's probably more.
Well, not only that, now, because remember we talked about, like, when this was first going on, nobody really ever thought about law enforcement using these types of sites to figure out crime. So there really wasn't any policies from these companies or legislation stating the steps that we had to take to do that. Because as soon as that happens, then we have to have steps and procedures and policies about how to do this. And you know, as soon as they started figuring out like five of them, somebody was like, hey, hold on, are we sure this is legal? Which probably slowed things down. So they probably were able to figure out more than 20, but I bet you any money, agencies were like, nope, stop doing it until we figure out how this is legal and how we make it legal. So,
yeah, absolutely, because they don't want to come back and get some lawsuit on them.
Yeah, and especially the United States loves suing everybody. So, I mean, I understand they want to put a policy in place to make sure that, you know, you are using each tool correctly and legally before starting to use more.
And the whole thing that kicked it off was, this is how the Golden State Killer was found.
Yep.
And because that was so high profile, everything spiraled from
there. Well, and actually on Small Town Dicks, the guy actually gives a great example of misusing this genetic thing, where it's not like the Golden State Killer, it's not murderers, but guys were going in and putting simple assaults in. They had DNA from a simple assault. Like, I think that he said the case was a teenager or young adult punched an old lady, which I'm sure the old lady was very grateful that they did this because they were able to catch him. But now they're like, okay, should we be allowing you to use this tool for, and I don't think it's a small crime, because I think if you punch an old lady in the face, you need to be also punched in the face. But apparently the courts are saying, does this meet the requirements for you to use this tool as such, trying to solve such small crime?
Case.
So I think that was the other thing. They're trying to see what constitutes as a heinous enough crime to be using this, or is it all crime?
I mean, we could debate on this back and forth, because I would say, like, all crime. Like, if you have the tools to solve something, why wouldn't you use it? But I could see where people would want to just, you know, have a limit of, okay, only serial killers or multiple murders or whatever, but
Yeah, and I mean, me and you are agreeing to this, but we know how it is now with people are really question government a lot now, and some of them are right too, and some of them are just crazy people that have crazy thoughts, but some of them, have a legitimate case. But it's just like, if you don't give us the tools, then we can't do our job, and then I don't want you bitching about how we're not solving crime.
Authorities uploaded Miramax. No, wait, Mirac. Actually, I don't know why I keep saying Miramax. I want to add that
That extra
extra,
M.
Authorities uploaded Mirac suspects' DNA into the site and sent the file to the institution. They said that the GED match showed the amount of shared DNA between two people that allowed Parabon to find a distant cousin of the suspect. From there, they could build a family tree and then suggest a suspect's name.
Yeah, that's crazy. So
So.
now just think about that, Ash. Like, now you want to go out and commit you're a serial killer. No, you're starting in to get into it. Now you just don't have to worry about what you're doing and to cover up your tracks, but you got to worry about cousins that you don't even know not submitting their DNA into sites like this. It's
Yeah,
crazy.
there's a meme out there that it's like somewhere there's a serial killer trying to beg his second cousin not to participate in something in me.
Right? That's what's crazy now. And it's like, I just wish they would just open this up to law enforcement and just let us do our freaking jobs.
From the time Chrissy was murdered to 25 years later, it took the police that much time to find out who actually killed Chrissy Miramax. And I did it again. It's not Miramax.
I was going to call you out, but I was going to
Took 25 years,
let you go.
but the police found her, killed her. We're nutting because I don't know why I keep saying it like that. So it's insane that this was a cold case for so long and now it's solved. So police matched DNA found at the murder scene with the DNA taken from chewing gum in a water bottle left at a DJ Freeze performance. Let me pause. When I said performance, I actually mean an elementary school dance in May.
Oh, DJ Freeze out there getting work done.
So this was a bit like the big break that led to his arrest.
So wait. Wait a second. So they oh my God, hold on. So they got DNA from a chew from chewing gum in a
In a water
water bottle left at a school dance in May of what? Do you know?
bottle. No, not off the top of my head.
Okay. So was there a reason? I mean, if we get into it, then just let me know. But is there a reason that they took these
Well, so
items?
they needed to confirm his DNA. So since they tracked his two distant cousins, they were able
Oh,
to
okay.
narrow the family tree down to him. But in order to prove it's him, they needed some DNA, and they really, you go up to someone like, "Can I have your DNA?" They're probably gonna say no.
Oh, okay.
So
I
they
got what you're
tracked
saying
his DNA.
now. So they were able to follow the family tree, find the guy in there that most likely matched the DNA, but since they didn't have his DNA on file, they had to go get it to. Gotcha.
They had to go get it to confirm what they have on file. This DNA that they collected, it was submitted to the state police crime lab, which determined it matched the DNA found on multiple parts of Mirax's body, as well as the carpet underneath her body, according to the prosecutor. So police arrested 49-year-old Raymond Rowe. Ray is a DJ from Lancaster area and goes by the name DJ Freeze. Police were able to arrest him based on the DNA evidence.
I want to smack him just for having the name DJ Freeze. Like,
Yeah, and apparently he was a very popular DJ. Like, he was.
for middle school dances, the DJ Freeze on the ones and twos in the cafeteria.
But he did like weddings, he was at like clubs.
Well, now he can DJ it up in the fucking infirmary.
Yep. And if you like, this is, take it as you want, but I looked at his picture. He looks like the douchiest DJ that you've ever seen. Like,
Well, I don't know, man. DJs are pretty douchey looking.
no.
Sorry if you're a DJ, but some of you are pretty douchey looking.
He's like the white shirt, the black hair that like stands up, kind of like a Pauly D thing, but not Pauly D.
The poor man, Lancaster, PA, Pauly D.
So, according to the district attorney, there is a 1 in 74 octillionth of a chance that the DNA found in Mirak's home belonged to somebody other than Raymond Rao. So this was pretty positive that it was him.
I was going to say, octillion? Like, really?
Oh, we had to do the octillions and taking no chances.
But you know that there's his lawyer was like, so you're saying there's a chance that it was somebody else.
That teeny, 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 tiny chance. It ain't. It's him. From the time of the murder until the time Ray was arrested, he got to live a pretty normal life. He was married several times.
Because he was a douchebag DJ jockey thing. Yeah.
He had his successful jockey business. He has been out living free longer than Christy was alive on this earth. Like, that's
fucking bullshit.
Exactly. How can you live with yourself that long? The DJ now is 50, has admitted to murdering Christy in 1992 after the DNA linked him to the cold case. Ray pleaded guilty to first-degree murder, rape, and relative counts in exchange for life in prison without the possibility of parole, with a consecutive sentence of 60 to 120 years. He also apologized to the victim's family, saying, "I can't imagine what you are going through. I apologize."
Fuck you.
Yeah. Like, you can't give us more than, you know, the 10 words there. Like, what the fuck? According to Newswatch 16, they spoke with several of Mirak's friends who said that they have never heard of Ray. It's hard to say if Christy and Ray had any real connection. However, Ray's white Toyota matched the description of the car that was in Christy's neighborhood, or that Christy's neighbor saw parked near her apartment that morning she was killed. And Ray also lived in Lancaster and worked at the Service Master. Not quite sure what that is, but it was on William Penn Highway, or William Penn Way, which was just down the street from Christy's home.
He had to know known her.
Well, yeah, because his daily commute would make him drive past her house, so I'm sure.
It's either, there's two things. So there should be like three. I don't know, options or whatever word you want to use here. He either knew of her. I don't think she knew him, but he either knew of her. He's killed more people, and this is not the first time he's done this, or, you know, the last time he did this. It's highly unlikely that you are this violent your first time going around. And I mean, you didn't do a very good job of hiding your tracks. You just got lucky that it was 1992. There's no way you're this violent in this, abrasive. It's 7 a.m. in the morning. Like, people are getting to work. It has to be, you know, not his first time.
Her roommate could have been there. The fact that the roommate left early was a coincidence.
Well, that's why I'm saying, like, he must have known her and her routine. You know what I mean? Or he just, I guess he could have. He's a serial killer that didn't know her. I mean, we've seen it done, but you know they still stalk their, like, the BTK killer. But hell, yeah. 2-3 weeks he would stalk his victim to know their exact, like, ins and outs of their lives, know when to go. And I just find it weird that the day he picked the, you know, her roommate left early. Like, I don't know. I have a funny feeling that this is not his first time doing it.
No. And I
can't. Or was his last?
Well, hopefully his last if he's in jail.
Well, I mean, in that 25-year period, how do you go from that violent and everything and just stop?
I don't think you can. So I don't. Like, it could have either been a crime of opportunity, which he just would have seen her and just attacked, which I don't think that's the case. I think I'm kind of siding with you that he stalked her to the point where he kind of knew the routine of when she left, when the roommate left, to be able to attack her. It's not like they knew each other and they were dating or something, so it was like not like a boyfriend or husband killed their wife or vice versa. Or those are kind of like one-time killings because they're passion. Where this, I mean, there's a lot of anger in it because he deformed her face. But
and how big of a coincidence is that he picks a day that she has a ton of shit in her hands?
I can almost guarantee that there's other cold cases out there connected to him. And they just either don't have the DNA at the scene because maybe this was the first and he got cleaner afterwards.
I just have a hard time feeling like it's his first. I mean, maybe one of his first ones, and he started realizing, like, this is what I need to do next time, and not, you know,
yeah,
shoot his stuff all over the place. But I don't know. Like, that's so much. Like, I mean, you're a fucked up person for doing this in the first place, but you have to be a real fucked up person to just do this on a whim, like,
Yeah.
and
And they
not think
stopped for
about it.
25 years. Like, that doesn't
Yeah.
happen.
No, it never happens. It's never happened. I'd be interested in seeing some cold case files in, or cold cases in that area, or maybe on that side of the state that match it, to see if they can find anything. That'd be interesting.
Well, I think what they should do is see where he has lived through his life and track the cold cases there.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if he was always from Lancaster or if he just moved there for a job. But yeah, no, that would be a really good idea to look in the cold cases. Speaking of all the stalking, police did receive at least three Peeping Tom reports near Chrissy's apartment in the months before her murder. They don't know if it was him or not. But it's weird that they have these reports. The only other connection that they could find is Chrissy had a ticket in her purse to the Chameleon Club at the time of her murder. So that is where Ray worked as a DJ. So again, could they have met at the club? Could he have
No,
been a Peeping Tom? It's weird that they have these slight connections, but doesn't mean that they have any interactions.
there's nothing concrete, you know.
So after years of not knowing who killed Chrissy, the small community who never forgot her finally got the answers that they needed to have peace. It's just nice for everyone, the family, the school, everyone who knew her finally got some resolution in all this. Unfortunately, Chrissy's mother passed away in 2002, but her father still lives in Cole Township. That is the crazy story that was unsolved, but now is solved, of Chrissy Mirach.
Wow, that is a little bit of a craziness, and I hope stories like this keep popping up with the use of this genetic stuff to show people, like, if you don't want law enforcement to use your DNA, don't submit it. They're solving crimes, they're solving
It's going
cold
towards a good thing.
cases, and it's not, yeah, exactly. Like, we obviously don't have access to your DNA. We have access to your DNA profile, but we don't have access to your DNA. We can't go get your DNA and scoop it and put it on a murder weapon and stuff. No, we just have access to your profile and how much it matches a DNA sample that we have. So I don't know. I guess I understand why people are skeptical because it is new, but I hope that people start seeing how many cases this solves and start seeing that the good outweighs the bad on it.
Yeah, and especially for these type of cases that, are 25 years old, people are thinking, there's no new leads, there's no new anything, there's no way it's going to get solved. But with the use of, new technology, new science, new DNA ways of processing, like, it's able to get solved. We're able to put somebody behind jail, get justice for the family, even all these years later. And that's what I kind of like love about this story. Like, it's a very, very sad story, but because of all the technology and the science, we're able to put a name to the offender and then put him in jail for the rest of his life. So at least it's like some closure.
And I think that's the biggest thing out of it is the families are getting closure, and I think that needs to take precedence over everything, is these families are now getting closure because of this technology. Well, that was a good episode, Ash. I liked it. We had a lot of ranting on that episode. I kind of enjoyed that.
I did too, and we're both on the same page about it. So, guys, let us know what you think about this case. If you heard of it, if you're from the area, or what you think about like the DNA testing and the genealogy testing. Check our social media. Instagram is don't_go_in_there. Twitter is at don'tgointhere3. We have a Facebook page and group, Don't Go In There, and then send us an email about true crime, paranormal, weird stuff. Feedback, anything you want at don'tgointhere19@gmail.com.
Yep, and once again, remember we have switched from Podbeam to Anchor. So if you can take a second and take a look at our profile on Anchor, also subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever else you listen. If you could, please leave us a review. We'd highly appreciate it. It helps us get our podcast out there and build our audience. So we would appreciate that, and you'll also be always updated when you subscribe of new episodes being released.
Yeah, and don't forget to leave us that little 5-star review and little comment. That would be awesome. We would appreciate that. And check out our Patreon. We have 3 different levels. If you want to financially support us and help us keep recording new episodes, go check it out. Each level has a new little reward. So you could do that. If not, no worries.
Yep, no worries. We completely understand, especially right now. A lot of people were either sent home, you know, working from home. I know a few people who have their salaries cut. And then, you know, unfortunately, we know a lot of you are out of work. So we definitely understand. We do not want you guys putting yourself out. So just please take care of yourself. Stay safe. Social distance. Yeah. So we're just happy that we can give you guys a little bit of entertainment for the day, even if it is only for an hour or so. But hopefully everybody's staying safe. Ash, do you have anything else?
Nope, that's it. Until next time.
Until next week, guys. Remember, don't go in there.